It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, March 31st. I'm Patricia Naft. Colorado is on the verge of allowing people to collect rain that falls from their roofs. As Benta Berkland reports, the move would make Colorado the final state in the nation to sanction rain barrels.
The Republican-controlled Senate Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee passed the bill on Wednesday, with two Republicans joining Democrats to support it. Last year, the committee chair delayed the vote, worrying that rain barrels could hurt downstream users. The bill ran out of time to pass the Senate floor and failed. Governor John Hickenlooper says he's glad Colorado is now on track to allow rain barrels.
Sometimes Colorado functions like Great Britain said about the United States when we took so long to get into World War II. Churchill said that the United States could always be dependent upon to do the right thing, but only after they had exhausted the other possibilities. This might be a place where that applies.
Supporters see the bill as an important way to educate residents about water conservation and policy. It now heads to the full Senate for further debate. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The House is debating the budget this week. The numbers are tight, but the Speaker of the House is pleased that lawmakers won't have to cut key programs such as public schools and colleges or Medicaid reimbursements to physicians. Democratic Speaker Dickey Lee Hullinghorse of Boulder says the budget news is better than originally predicted.
We had some good things happen in terms of not having to take as many cuts as we thought we might. That's not expected to last.
She introduced a companion measure to try and keep more state money through an accounting move. It would otherwise be refunded to voters in future years under the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. But Republicans who control the Senate don't like the bill.
I'd have to characterize it as a stalemate.
Another controversial part of the budget is whether to fund a division in the Public Health and Environment Department that controls and reduces air pollution. Republicans want to strip that from the budget. Democrats want to keep it in. Starting next week, the new design for Colorado driver's licenses and ID cards will roll out at motor vehicle offices across the state. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Colorado Division of Motor Vehicles says the statewide overhaul will take about 2 weeks. Each DMV office will close for 1 day in order to install new equipment and train staff. Most offices on the western slope will be closed on either the 13th, 14th, or 15th of April. One of the first things people might notice about the new IDs is the picture. The DMV can't guarantee you a better driver's license photo, but it might look a little more artistic.
The biggest difference that customers will notice is that their photograph on the card will now be in black and white, and that's because it's laser engraved to help prevent duplication and also enhance facial features.
That's Lynn Granger, a spokesperson for the DMV. The new cards also feature a picture of Mount Sneffels on the front and the state capitol building on the back. Although the state won't be spending as much on color ink, the fee for the IDs will remain the same. Residents can continue to use their old IDs through the expiration date. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
As coal mining continues to decline in Delta County, communities are struggling. People are moving away, the school district is losing students, and unemployment remains high. In the town of Hotchkiss, some see marijuana as a way to bring in much-needed revenue and think it's time to reconsider the local ban. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
In the upcoming April municipal election, Hotchkiss voters face three questions. Should medical marijuana businesses be allowed in town? Should the community open its doors to the recreational marijuana industry?
And the third one, of course, is the tax question. Should we be allowed to tax the marijuana, which is sort of the whole point of the whole thing?
That's Tom Wills. He's a Hotchkiss Board of Trustee who helped get the issue on the ballot.
We already have marijuana in the community. We have all the impacts of marijuana in the community. But we're not getting any of the benefits. We have all of the impacts.
Will says those benefits include tax revenue, jobs, and tourism. Mary Hockenberry, who runs a local art gallery, sees that economic need too. She's the one who spearheaded the movement.
You know, I've seen the same vacant buildings down on Bridge Street for years.
Hockenberry thinks a retail pot store would help.
People passing through would stop for marijuana shops and spend money at other businesses.
Opponents don't debate the need for new business. They just don't want that business.
We need industry that appeal to all, not just drug users.
Jake DeField is a local Baptist pastor.
We minister to many teenagers, a lot of young kids. I'm very concerned about the kids.
He worries about children getting access to marijuana and people driving under the influence of the drug. DeField has an ally in the town's mayor, Wendell Koontz.
I still think it's a gateway drug. It's still a Class A federally prohibited drug.
And then there's residents like Linda Driscoll.
We've always been a pretty conservative little town. I mean, I realize things are changing, but I just don't want it.
Hotchkiss isn't the first small community to struggle with this. A similar debate cropped up just 80 miles away. Dubuque was a town dependent on the energy industry. When the boom went bust, voters nearly approved marijuana businesses.
And it was probably lucky for the community that the vote did pass.
That's Dubuque Administrator Lance Stewart.
We have not seen any real adverse impacts that can be documented from the operation of the couple of stores that are presently here in the community.
He says, in fact, the revenue the industry has brought in allowed the town to go from one police officer to four. There's even money to build sidewalks and make other improvements. Back in Hotchkiss, Trustee Tom Wills wants the measures to pass, so the town will see similar benefits. The advantage, he says, is that it doesn't tax locals, because it's not locals who will frequent pot shops.
Like I say, around here, the joke is that if you can't get marijuana for free, then you don't have the right friends.
Wills isn't sure how the election will go, but he knows the town needs some kind of economic boost, and says pot might be the answer. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Voters in more than 100 municipalities across Colorado will go to the polls April 5th. They'll select candidates for city councils and town boards and review a number of ballot questions. The Colorado Municipal League says 7 towns are considering allowing marijuana business. 9 towns, including Orchard City and Fruita, will weigh in on broadband questions. At this point, election officials say it's too late to mail ballots. Instead, people should drop them off in person. In Delta County, there are 24-hour drop-off boxes at the courthouse in Delta and at the North Fork Annex in Hotchkiss. In order for your vote to count, city or county election officials need to have your ballot by 7 p.m. on Election Day, Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Up next, the sweet sound.